For this morning, for this Lord's Day, comes to us from Psalm 46. We'll read the entire psalm and go through the entire psalm this morning. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, beginning in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So it was in 1527 that Martin Luther, the great Protestant church reformer, the man we celebrated just last year of the 500th anniversary of him posting his 95 thesis to the castle church door in Wittenberg. It was in 1527, though, that Luther faced one of the greatest difficulties of his life. At this time, the Black Plague was sweeping through Germany. And if you know the Black Plague, it took millions and millions of people's lives throughout continental Europe from the mid-1300s until the late 1600s. In this 300-year time span, there was no time that there was not plague in Europe. It was worse at some points and less at other points, but at this particular year, 1527, the plague had cropped its ugly head again in Germany. And during this time, Luther's son actually almost died. We don't know if he died was necessarily almost died of the plague or something else, but Luther almost lost the life of one of his very own sons. And his own body was fainting under the pressure of leading this new movement that he had unwittingly started. Many times during this year of 1527, during this dark and tumultuous period, Luther would turn to his co-worker. Some of you might know him, Philip Melanchthon, might have heard his name before. And Luther would turn to Philip and he would say, "Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm." And Luther actually based his most well-known hymn, the hymn we just sang, off of the words of Psalm 46. And so why did Luther and so many other Christians who came after him, why did he and all these fellow brothers and sisters find such confidence and hope in the words of the 46th Psalm? Why these particular 11 verses? Why this particular psalm? Well, it's because this psalm in particular, friends, it speaks so clearly, I think, as even just reading it, It speaks so clearly about God protecting his people from trouble and trials and tribulations and suffering. And so what this psalm is telling us, what it teaches us, is that we should not be afraid. We should not fear, because God protects you. God protects you from all trouble, from all harm, from all sin in this world. But notice how God is described throughout this psalm. We might have missed it as we read through it. Notice how God is described throughout the psalm here. He is really described as God with us, or Emmanuel. Notice the beginning of verse 1. Or notice verse 1. He is a very present help. He's not far off. He's present. He's near to his people. And then in verse 5, as the psalmist describes this city of God, notice who is in the midst of this city. God himself. God is in the midst of this city. He is not somewhere off, far off to be found. He is there dwelling in this place. And then the refrain of verses 7 and 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. This is God with us. This is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is not far off. He's not removed from the cares and concerns and troubles of those whom he loves. The Lord is at hand. He is prepared. He is ready to answer when called upon. He stands ready to provide safety, to provide refuge for his people. So why should God's people then not fear when trouble comes? Why should we not be afraid? Well, firstly, because Emmanuel is king. Emmanuel is the king of all creation, the king of everyone. So the first reason we should not fear is because Emmanuel is king. The second reason we should not fear is because Emmanuel is a protector. I'm sorry, Emmanuel is a provider. We know that he's a protector, right? We will see that throughout this psalm as well. But Emmanuel is a provider. He provides for his people. He gives blessings to those whom he loves. And thirdly and finally, we should not fear trouble because Emmanuel is a peacemaker. Emmanuel brings peace to places that are ravaged by war and ravaged by sin and the curse. So firstly then, Emmanuel the king, verses 1 through 3 here of Psalm 46. And just before we get in, I just want to kind of give you an understanding of what we'll be doing, the pattern we'll be following this morning. I'm going to kind of go through and explain the psalm in its entirety, and then we'll go back and help you understand and give some application of how we can take some of these truths that are coming out of here of Psalm 46, how we can apply them to our daily lives here in this world. So firstly then, Emmanuel the king in verses 1 through 3 here of Psalm 46. Now verse 1 is really the thesis of this entire psalm. As a good writer, he puts his thesis at the very beginning. And so verse 1 is really the thesis that trickles down throughout the rest of the 10 verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now notice that first phrase there, God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. This is corporate language. This is the collective people of God saying this psalm. It's not God is my refuge, not just me all by myself. Is God your refuge individually? Absolutely. But the psalmist here is speaking corporately. We, everyone gathered here, God is our refuge and strength. Not just me by myself, but he is the refuge of all of his people. The gathered people of God who put their confidence in Emmanuel, God who is with them. So God is our what? Our refuge. Okay, refuge. In its literal use, this word refuge meant a place of safety and protection from hostile elements like the blazing sun or the biting rain. So the refuge, to take shelter from the elements, to take shelter from a storm or from a very hot sun. We might like a hot sun today, but in some contexts, that wouldn't necessarily be a blessing. Anyway. But when we apply this to God, then, the psalmist is conveying to us that the Lord God is a source of protection. God is our refuge. He provides us with shelter and safety. So God is our refuge, but what else does the psalm say here? He's our strength. The psalmist doesn't find strength in himself. The psalmist doesn't find strength in his wealth or in anything he might have done. He finds strength in the might and power of the God who is with him. And he is a very present help in trouble. This again speaks to God being ready to be found. He's not far off. He's close at hand. Emmanuel is present to protect his people, to provide and to be a source of strength and hope. In times of distress, in times of despair and hopelessness, God promises to be a refuge and stronghold for his people. Now, verses 2 through 3 here. We see that this is really Emmanuel, the king, showing his power and his might. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Notice, therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. This is the conclusion of faith and confidence in God's protection and in God's strength. And we have no reason to fear, even in the midst of a raging chaos, a cataclysmic earthquake, of a tidal wave really building against us in this world. We will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains, these gigantic mountains, are moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam. This is, if we knew that a tidal wave was coming, if we knew that the mountains were going to fall into the sea and there would be a cataclysmic natural disaster here, would we be afraid? I think it's logical to be afraid of these things. It's rational for us to be afraid of these types of things that the psalmist describes here. And yet the psalmist tells us that the Creator, the King, is more powerful than even these cataclysmic forces. Even if these natural disasters came upon us, we should not fear because Emmanuel is close at hand. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We should not fear because Emmanuel is near. God's people do not have to fear when the world seems unstable. The presence of God brings help even if the world is falling apart. Emmanuel then is the king of his creation. He is the king who protects his people from all trouble. But our second point that we mentioned is in verses 4 through 7 is that Emmanuel is not only the king, but Emmanuel is also a provider. In verses 4 through 7, we see that Emmanuel provides. And what does he provide? He provides a city. He provides a city for his people. Notice verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. He provides a city for his people. And notice here, the waters that had raged, that had roared, had foamed. What are these waters doing now in verse 4? They're a river that provides nourishment, a river that flows calmly through the city of Emmanuel. And it makes glad the city of God. You see, what the psalmist is showing us here is that Emmanuel has taken these waters that are seemingly out of control, and he has calmed them and used them to provide nourishment and sustenance for his people. You see, God is the king who is even greater than this creation. And now in verse 5, again, the psalmist draws our attention to Emmanuel. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help. God will help her when morning dawns. God is in the midst of this city. Now, in Israel's history, the nation of Israel took great comfort in the fact that God dwelt in Jerusalem, that God dwelt particularly in the temple in Jerusalem. And yet the psalmist here doesn't find comfort in the fact that God dwells, that God is present in the city. The psalmist doesn't find protection in the city alone. He doesn't find hope that this city is going to provide me protection. The city can only provide hope and protection because God is present there. The only reason that this city can be a source of hope and confidence for God's people is because Emmanuel is there. It is only because God is with us that the city can be a mighty fortress for God's people. And notice, because Emmanuel is in this city, because Emmanuel has taken up residence here, notice what the psalmist says. It shall not be moved. It shall not be moved. And this word is very important because the psalmist will draw a contrast here between this city and then the enemies. In contrast to the mountains that moved into the heart of the sea, in contrast to, in verse 6, we'll see the nations that totter, that move, the city of God is steadfast and unchanging. It has foundations that can never be shaken, that can never be moved. The city of God shall not be moved. And then notice what happens in verse 6. Against this city come some enemies. Against the city of Emmanuel, the nations bring war. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. And yet against these foes, Emmanuel doesn't have to do much to vanquish them. He utters his voice, the earth melts. All Emmanuel does is speak, and his foes are put to flight. And then in verse 7, the people of God again find protection in Emmanuel and in what he has done to be with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, this title for God here, the Lord of hosts, here in this context, and we'll see throughout the psalm in the next section as well, that there is this underlying tension of war and battle going on between God and the nations. So this title, the Lord of hosts, is literally the Lord and his armies. The Lord with his army. The Lord of hosts in this context is the Lord with his battle company arrayed behind him. And so this is the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Why the mention of Jacob? Well, it seems that Jacob is the chosen son, the chosen one, the one who the Lord was gracious to. And thus it is God who is both powerful in might with his army, but is also a God who is gracious and merciful to his people. And it is this one who becomes the fortress for his people. The God of Jacob is, again, our fortress. You see that corporate language again. Not just my fortress, but the fortress for the people of God. And we've seen that Emmanuel is the king. We've also seen that Emmanuel is the provider. He provides a city. He provides help. He provides strength. He provides his power and his might. But lastly, we see that Emmanuel will also bring peace. Emmanuel is the peacemaker. In verses 8 through 11, we see that Emmanuel is the one who will bring peace. Notice verses 8 through 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And so, Emmanuel brings peace, but not through diplomacy, not through through talking it out, but he brings peace by utterly destroying his enemies. This is God the warrior, God on the battle path. He brings desolations on the earth. But notice how he does that, what the outcome is at the beginning of verse 9. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He does that by breaking the bow and shattering the spear, by burning chariots with fire. That's how Emmanuel brings peace. Although the outcome is peace, the process is judgment. The context is not of gentle persuasion, but of a world devastated and forcibly disarmed. Forcibly disarmed. The focus here is that he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He brings peace to a world ravaged by war, to a world ravaged by sin, to a world ravaged by hate and suffering. The people of Emmanuel then should not fear in the midst of the rages of this world, because Emmanuel will bring peace. He will just bring it just as we might not have imagined it, or we might not have expected it to come. And then in verse 10, psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Now, verse 10 here is, I think, in some ways, not understood usually properly. I think we tend to read verse 10 and just be, "Oh, I just need to take a big, deep breath and meditate and be still and just know that that God is God." That's what God is telling us here. Well, in this context, I think that's an improper way of understanding what the psalmist is saying. Who is speaking here in verse 10? It's still Emmanuel. And it's in this context of him who has just shattered spears and broken down his enemies, who has ravaged his enemies who are waging war. Really, what Emmanuel is saying here is he's saying, "Be quiet." He's saying to the nation, "Stop fighting against me," is what he's saying. "Be still and know that I am God." Much like how a teacher might speak to a rowdy classroom, this is what Emmanuel is saying to the nations. "Stop fighting against me." He's saying, "Stop fighting against me and recognize me as the true God." And that is the truth. Everyone will know that God is God, whether they admit it now or whether God forcibly disarms them and they are forced to bow the knee. As we read in the New Testament, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess what? That Jesus is Lord. "Be still and know that I am God." What does God say that he wants the nations to recognize about him? "That I will be exalted among the nations. That I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord will not share his majesty. He will not share his glory. He will not share his perfections with anyone or anything else. We live in a world, and I think we look around us, we can say, is God exalted in our world? Maybe in some ways we can say he is. But we look around us, we can say, God is not exalted in our world at all. And yet the Lord tells us, "I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And he will do that by bringing peace to this world that he has created and that he will redeem. Now in verse 11, we hear again this refrain that we heard previously in verse 7. "The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress." Emmanuel is glorious in victory. And in his victory, he is still a source of hope, a source of power, a source of might, a source of strength for his people. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So what do we do with this psalm for us? What relevance does it have to us? We have to understand Psalm 46 in light of what we read throughout the rest of God's Word. We see that when we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, who is the true Emmanuel? It is Jesus Christ. Matthew tells us that Jesus of Nazareth, the one born to Joseph and Mary, is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Remember, he says in Matthew 11:23, quoting from Isaiah 7:14, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Jesus Christ is the true Emmanuel of the scriptures. You see, Jesus came all the way down to be with his people. The eternal Son of God took on flesh to dwell with his people in this sinful world. He came all the way down to be with you, his people. Jesus is with you. Jesus Christ is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress. That is who the true Emmanuel is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that Jesus fulfills all three of these points here that we've looked at from Psalm 46. Christ is the King. Christ is the one who has power over his creation. Jesus is in control. He's even in control of storms. Remember, we read in Psalm 46 that the waters roared in foam. Remember what Jesus did in a similar circumstance as recorded in Mark chapter 4. And Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Who wouldn't be afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the seas obey him?" Jesus Christ just stood up in the middle of a boat and told the wind and a storm to stop, and it stopped. The disciples were rightly feared that, who is this man who is in this boat with us? He can even calm storms. Jesus is the King of all creation, friends. And just as Emmanuel in Psalm 46 brings safety and security in the midst of raging seas, Christ brings refuge. Christ brought refuge to his disciples in the midst of these raging seas, amidst the storm. And the same Christ, the same Lord of creation, is your Lord. He perfectly rules his creation right now. And you, loved ones, you have no reason to fear when this fallen world rages and storms and does its worst against you. When life seems unstable, when you are in great trouble, when it seems that this world is crashing down on you from every side, when it seems that everything in life might be falling apart, God promises to be with you, to provide protection, to provide strength. And Christ is your King. He will shelter and protect you when everyone and everything else in this world forsakes you. And so we can say with the psalmist, Christ is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But Christ not only fulfills that office, we could say, that office of the King, but Christ is also the one who provides for us as his people. Christ provides for us a city. Turn with me, if you will, to the very backs of your Bibles. Revelation 21. And Pastor Ryan did a wonderful job explaining this to us during the Advent season, during Christmas. But just want to look at this one more time because it really does speak to what we've read in Psalm 46 and how it relates to Christ and what he provides for us as his loved ones. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3. Notice what Christ provides for his people here. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw new heavens and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. He will dwell with them. He will be with them. He will be Emmanuel for them. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God." Emmanuel provides a city where he will be present. Christ Jesus is the one who provides this new city, this new Jerusalem for us. Loved ones, this is your confidence. This is our promise. This is our hope that Christ has won and provided for us a new Jerusalem, a new place for us to dwell. And this city will never be moved. And that is God's promise. That is Emmanuel's promise to you this morning. That is your inheritance sealed for you in the heavenly places. And so Christ is the King. Christ is the provider of the New Jerusalem. Christ is also the peacemaker. We confessed and we read from the Heidelberg Catechism that he will come again. He will come again with glory. And when he comes, at his coming, he will bring perfect, everlasting peace. When Emmanuel comes again, he will make all things new. Continuing on in Revelation 21, verses 4, and then the beginning of verse 5. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." This is the final defeat of pain, mourning, and death. This is Christ coming and shattering the spears, shattering the bows of his enemies, and his enemies namely being death itself. He brings peace by defeating sin and sickness and suffering, and by killing death itself. This is perfect peace. This is causing wars to cease over all God's creation in the new heavens and in his new earth. There will be no war. There will be no death. There will be no sickness. There will be no pain. Christ will make all things new. And so this is our confidence, brothers and sisters. This is your hope that Christ, your Emmanuel, will come again, that he will wipe away every tear. He will kill death. He will do away with pain and suffering. and he will make all things new. Hallelujah. Beloved, the Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress. Amen. Let's pray.